All right. Well, last week we had a time together and the message was on Go East, and it was sharing our vision and our call to launch the Grace Campus east of town. Love to have you listen to that if you missed it last week. I got the power. Wow, sorry, that was shocking. Today, we're going to begin a four-part series called Share. For the younger folks in our midst, you get the graphic on the screen already. It takes no description for you who don't get it. No description will help. So we're going to talk about time today, tithe, talents, and thanks. That's our Share series. There's a lot of barriers that we can carry around with us to sharing. That wasn't even funny. Scary. So there's many barriers to sharing. Some are electronic in nature. Most of what gives us resistance to sharing is a fear that resources are limiting, and if I share, I'm going to end up with less. And so we have all kinds of ways we could illustrate that. The one I used, and I'll use again, is soon I will go out on dates, one another, with other people, and I think I have enough fingers to count how many times she has ever ordered dessert in her life. She just doesn't go there. And I will occasionally do it because I'm free. I'm free to do it, and I'm free not to do it. And the times that I take dessert, I can almost always anticipate that I'll be sharing. So whether it's a really nice carrot cake or cheesecake or key lime pie or whatever it is, ice cream cone, she takes some of it. And then I have less. It's heartbreaking. But because that experience, you know, as a kid we were mandated, we were children, we had to share our toys, and so we have this expectation that sharing equals loss or less, and that's the way it is in the world with finite resources. In the kingdom of God, it's different. In the kingdom of God, when I lay down my life, I find it. When I want to be the greatest, I become the servant of all. And so in the kingdom of God, when I share, I don't end up experiencing loss. I end up experiencing blessing and provision and the goodness of God. So in this Share series, I want us to get a hold of the fact that in the kingdom that we are members and a part of, in the family of God, sharing is actually leveling up. It's an upgrade. Wow. Okay, so I've titled today's message on time, Redeem the Time. The Bible has so many things to say about time, and if you used a concordance, electronic phone, whatever your device might be, you would find over 900 references to time in the Bible. So we would not have time to read every one of those, so I'm going to read a few excerpts. Psalm 39. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Isaiah 49. This is what the Lord says. At just the right time, I will respond to you. On the day of salvation, I will help you. Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. John 7, now is the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. You go on, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm not going to this festival because my time has not yet come. From just these few excerpts in the Bible, we see that time on earth is brief, and we know that there is a right time for certain things in life. So those are some aspects of time. And now is the time for me to, thank you, Mylon, for the reminder, to have you take one of these pieces of paper. So I want everyone to get a slip of paper here. And because we are in the Share series, you can take more than one piece of paper because we won't experience loss if you get more paper than I had accounted for. Everyone take one of these. So we're going to do a little exercise here together to engage in. All right. I want to say also this morning, it's very likely that as I speak, I might challenge you or say things that will challenge you in regards to our sharing time, redeeming the time. And if I step on toes a little bit, I just want you to know I'm preaching to myself as well. I'm not just being mean up here to others. God is convicting and teaching me things about the use of time just as much as I believe he wants to instruct and teach all of us. Okay, so we're almost all the way to the back with those little slips of paper. So there's a pen in the seat back. You can take one of those. We've anticipated your every need, and so you have pen. All right, so with pen and paper, I want you to complete this thought. Here on the slide it says, time is, and then you complete the thought. You complete the sentence. Time is, what do you have to say about time? And go ahead, be generous. Say more than one word. You can say multiple things about time if you like. And for a few of you, you're still staring up here at me. So here's a prompt. Here's some help. Pick from this list of descriptive words. Some of you find it really difficult to do these exercises on demand in church. I like one right there in the very middle. Time is impartial. The least and the greatest among us, the youngest and the oldest, the rich and the poor, we all have 24 hours in this day that the Lord has made. Time is impartial. I like that thought. All right. So time is something. You've written multiple thoughts. Here's some information for you. The average American spends about a third of their day sleeping. Average American spends a little more than a third of their day. The average adult American spends a little more than a third of their day working. That leaves a little less than 8 hours in our day for everything else. So two-thirds of the day gone, sleeping and working. And so then we fit in eating and housework and shopping and hobbies and entertainment and leisure activities and in the remaining time. We now have devices, these electronic phones that we so rarely use to talk on but do so many other amazing things with. They will keep track of all kinds of things. I know that in the last week I have been active for 382 minutes. See, I'm impressing you right now. Well, but I was really an amazing person back in July because I had 780 active minutes 1 week in July. Yeah, you were really participatory. And that is important. I don't know why. That's information for sure, but why do we need all that? What we realize is that more and more information hasn't led to more and more contentment or more and more satisfaction in life, has it? Some of us feel that time is relentless. It presses on. We're worried we'll be left out or left behind. Others of us feel time is limited and I'll never get to do what I dream of doing. Other of us feel that time is slipping through our fingers and we're going to end our lives with regret. Some of us feel like time is so pressurized that I'll never have a rhythm in my life that feels peaceful. If your attitudes, don't know what words you chose as you were describing time is, if your attitudes are similar to the phrases I just read, then time is your foe. It's like an enemy that you battle with. You're battling to overcome its pressures, to conquer it, to subdue it in your life. I want to suggest that if that's where it feels like life is much of the time for you, that you and I are being more influenced by the attitudes and values of the world regarding time than the kingdom of God. Here's another snapshot of our culture taken from a New York Post article. We live under a weight of demands, real and imagined, that is debilitating. We see an alarming increase in stress-related disorders of all kinds for all ages, beginning with elementary school-age children who are struggling with obesity, depression, anxiety, attention disorders, and all kinds of learning disabilities. In a vicious cycle, the exhausting fast pace of this kind of life promotes overstimulation, overscheduling, which become chronic stressors that lead to behavioral mood and attention disorders. We cannot see that we are causing our physical, emotional, and behavioral problems as we try harder to go faster and then turn to medication to treat the unforeseen consequences. Just reading this makes me feel dissatisfied. It feels pressurized. It feels less than abundant life. So there's this lie behind living this way. I think, and I don't know if I've got the very deepest root of the lie, but the lie goes something like this. God is holding something back from you and I, and I've got to rush around and go crazy in life, making sure I take care of me. God's holding something back. I can't trust him to take care of me, so I've got to fill my life with all of this stuff so that my needs or my wants are taken care of. For parents, there's even another whole level of fear, and that is that if I don't over-involve my children in everything possible, then they won't grow up to become what God created them. Somehow, if I don't do dance, choir, AAU basketball, travel, soccer, then they're not going to realize their potential in God. And so we take our rat race and we add our children's to it. And for parents, and it's a particularly challenging thing, this balance, this redeeming time. So too often we've joined our culture and we rush around worried that if we don't do it all, we will fail and have regrets. Here's a biblical perspective. A more biblical worldview is this: God has unlimited time to accomplish his perfect purposes in our life. God has unlimited time to accomplish his purposes in each one of our lives. Does that sound true? Does that ring true with Scripture? I believe that time really is our friend, not our foe. I was in a ministry meeting earlier this week with a group of people, and Sylvia Mahagan dropped that truth right in the middle of the meeting. She said, she was talking about something true. Time is your friend. Wow. That landed on really fertile soil in my heart. Time isn't something to battle and to overcome, but something to rest in and trust God with. Matthew 11 says this. Jesus is talking. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What a promise. for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Come to me. The invitation of Jesus is come to me and I'll give you rest. That is like water on dry soil for many, many of us. So I want you to imagine with me a life where you sleep peacefully, work joyfully, and share generously your life and time with others. Imagine a life where you sleep peacefully, work joyfully, and share time generously with others. Further, imagine that your life is being lived with a good, loving, generous, faithful Heavenly Father who shows you and leads you how to spend your time in God-glorifying, fulfilling, sustainable ways. So my prayer is that today's sermon wouldn't be one more thing that puts a burden on you and make you feel like, now I've got one more thing to juggle in my life. My prayer is that today's message would encourage you to dig into God's word and find the foundation for a life of abundance, a life of relationship with God, a life established on his ways and his word. What Jesus is calling us to with that invitation is really different than where the world is pushing us. So let's read this truth from Ephesians chapter 5. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Christians, the believers in Ephesus. And he says this in verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Other translations say redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, let this passage of Scripture be life to us. Help us to live carefully. Help us to live wisely. Let us understand what you want us to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Be careful how you live. There's encouragement. Not like fools. Nobody wants to be a fool, right? Cool. Be careful how we live. Live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Understand what the Lord wants us to do. How do we understand what the Lord wants us to do? Well, we ask him. He's written his will. He expresses his will through the Holy Spirit. So how do we find out? We ask him. Search his word. Search his scriptures. Here's something that Jesus said. He says, I only do what the Father is doing. John chapter 5. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. How about us? How much of what we do is what God is asking us to do? Be careful, be thoughtful, be wise in how we live. Redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Understand what God wants you to do and do it. Information is a really good thing, but revelation is a much better way to live. We have more information at our disposal right now than we've ever had in the history of the world, but we have more stress, more discontentment. Information fills our heads, makes us proud, many times, and can make us even more self-reliant. Revelation fills our hearts, makes us humble, and transforms us into Christ's likeness. I want revelation. See, we could read this scripture that we've just read, be careful, be wise, don't be thoughtless, know what God wants you to do. And we could just live with that in our head and recite it. But at some point, when the truth of God's word settles from our head down into our heart, it then makes us more Christ-like and more God-dependent, not more full of ourselves, prideful and independent. My rhythm is that on an annual basis, I'll sit down and make some goals for the future year. I'll make spiritual growth goals. I'll make fitness goals. I'll make relationship goals with my wife, family, and leadership team. I will set some goals. And what that does for me is helps me plan and think about how to use the time that I have in front of me. And so doing that exercise and then checking in with it throughout the year helps me live carefully. It helps me be thoughtful. It helps me reflect. It helps me understand what the Lord wants me to do. Not everybody is a goal setter. Sue is different. Sue doesn't do life that way. She's very disciplined and very intentional, and she is very fruitful in stewarding her time without going through that kind of exercise. I don't know how God has wired you, but the question is, what are you doing to live carefully and wisely and do what God wants you to do? Find what works for you and pursue it. So information, that becomes revelation. Just an example of how God's been doing that in my life recently. I've known since a young age the commandment that said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? It's one of our Ten Commandments. I think I may have learned it either in Sunday school or playing the board game at Grandma and Grandpa's house. The Ten Commandments. I can see the board game. I can't remember what the board looks like. Can you believe they made board games? The Ten Commandments. So I played that game. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For me as a young person, that was a rule, which meant don't work on Sunday, go to church. So that was a rule. That was information that guided me and kept me in control. Don't work, go to church. That was my revelation, very limited, of remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So as an adult, occasionally life gets full and it rains all through the week and most of the weekend, and the only 5 hours of sunshine and dry is Sunday evening. And so I mowed the lawn one evening this week. I think it was the second time in my life I've mowed the lawn on Sunday, and both times I had to get saved. Now, I'm religious about that. Others of us have other kinds of, we hear some truth from Scripture, we make it law, we apply it legalistically as a rule in our life, and we miss the heart of it. We get a piece of truth that stays in our head. When the truth of remember the Sabbath and keep it holy sinks into your heart, it begins to look like this. So for the last few years, this past year particularly into the last, I've been getting a revelation of what this 10th commandment looks like. I'm learning that keeping the Sabbath isn't a rule that God wants to condemn me with. Mark 2, Jesus says this, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Jesus was expressing some freedom in the heart. The heart of the commandment is that we would have relationship. That's what I believe. It's for the needs of people. Sabbath isn't a rule for God to judge me with. Sabbath is a conduit for rest and relationship with God. Sabbath is for deeper love and intimacy with God. That's what God's been showing me. A couple of weeks ago on a Friday, which is the day I try to take off, I did what I knew I would enjoy doing with God. I started the morning in a coffee shop, drinking some chai tea and reading a really good book. Then I took a long walk in the woods. It was a gorgeous day like today is. Not so hot that you sweated when you walked, not so cold that you needed wear. You just walked. It was perfect temperature, gorgeous. I walked and talked and listened to God for several hours. Then at the end of that, I went for a drive, grabbed something to eat, drove around looking at property. I had a wonderful time with the Lord. I felt like that day gave me a picture, a revelation of what Sabbath could be like. That day with God makes me hunger for more with Him. Don't work, go to church, doesn't inspire me like a day of relationship. Imagine if I did that every week instead of just once in a while. How much more love, joy, peace, and grace would flow out of my life to the people around me? Can you see the difference in why revelation is more and better than just information? So I want you to take the card that you wrote incredible things about what time is and flip it over and just write revelation. And if God's stirring anything in your heart regarding time, revealing anything to you, then just write it down. And if you aren't hearing the Lord nudge you or prompt you to write anything, just sit and rest and thank Him for this space of time in the middle of a sermon. Okay, let's move on here and we'll wrap up. I want to look at another small passage from the Apostle Paul. This time he's writing to the believers in Colossae. I put verses 5 and 6 up on the screen for you. I'll pick it up in verse 2. Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time." Other translations say, "Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." The Apostle Paul is consumed with sharing the good news with everyone, everywhere he could. So when prayer time was happening with his group of people, and it's like, what do you want prayer for? His response is, pray that I will proclaim the message clearly in the way I should. Pray that I will have even more opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. He was so focused and so consumed with sharing the good news that that's what he asked for prayer, that he would do it well and he would have even more opportunities to do it. Paul is passionate about using his time to share the good news of the gospel. So he asked for prayer. So as we think about information that moves us to revelation and then some application as we're here, he's saying pray for opportunities. He's encouraging them, pray for me and you pray for opportunities to share. And when you do have opportunities, make the most of it, and let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Do you like being around people who speak graciously and in an attractive way? You can do that everywhere, church. When we go out to eat lunch after this is over, for those who do it, someone will be serving you. If you speak graciously and attractively, the right response for everyone, it will open their heart to whatever you have to say. You want to shut them down? We don't need coaching on that, do we? Okay. Loving God and loving others will mean sharing your time, your life, with God and with others. Our problem is that too many of us have already overspent our time. We are in time debt. We have a big negative sign in our time balance sheet. Too often we think like this: I've got to give 6 or 7 or 8 hours to sleep. I've got to make sure I get in my 8 or 9 hours at work. Got to eat. Got to connect to the world, read some news, watch the news, pick it up on media channels. I got to watch. Got to have some me time, so I got to do some recreation and got to watch the Amazon series that I'm fond of, you know, whatever. And then, for any of you parents who are in the room, you've got to do all of that for all of them, right? And keep up with their schedule and their extracurriculars and get them to school and pack their lunch and get them to doctor appointments and get them to after school. And so then the pastor preaches a sermon, and I figure I better throw God a few hours in my week and share some time with him. And then if I really want to be impressive, I'll volunteer and serve the body of Christ in children's ministry or something. And then you're more stressed out after having come to church than you were before you got here. That's not very life-giving. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. There is a different way for us to live our lives than the direction the culture is pushing us in. Understand what the Lord wants us to do and do it. God doesn't want to be added around the edges of our life. God wants us to give him all of our time, all of our finances, all of our everything, and let him be Lord of all of us. He doesn't want this because he's a needy, demanding God. He wants this because it's truly what's best for us. A life surrendered and yielded to God is a life where there is rest. So, last thing I want you to do, take that card, write the word application. Is there any adjustment to your daily, weekly rhythm of life that you feel the Lord prompting or nudging you in? Just take a moment. Could I have amazing guitarists? Okay. Referencing back to that slide that said time is, and then you would fill out a response. If I could, that was an exercise to help you reflect about time and how you use it and what your values or thoughts are about it. If I could move you to think of time is for a relationship. That's what I'd love all of us to come to a revelation of. Time is for revelation. It's a little bit cliche. I've heard it probably is in a country song. It's so cliche. Nobody gets to the end of their life and wishes they had worked more time at the office. Nobody gets to the end of their life and wishes they had slept more. Nobody gets to the end of their life and wishes they had spent more time at the Word Grill buffet. Time is for relationship. Sabbath was made for us, not us, to live up to something on this. God created us for relationship with him and with one another. We sang, thank you, worship team, those lyrics. I'm a child of God. If you're a child of God, you're in the family of God. You have relationship. He's your father. As Christy shared, he is a father with his arms surrounding us. He wants relationship with it. You were created. Time is for relationship. I asked this question in the sermon notes. Those of you who get the email, it says, what are you doing with your time right now that you will be doing in eternity? Relating to God and one another. Relationship, church. God loves us. He wants us to trust him with our lives more. He wants us to be free, to see time as a friend that God uses to transform us and to glorify his name in the earth. Relationship. So let's stand up. I don't know where everyone in this room is at, but some of you may not have a relationship with God, and you're thinking, I want to be in the family of God, but I've never felt like I could be. I didn't measure up.
you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and make you a child of God. And so, could I have the ministry team come forward? There's going to be two invitations here. As always, when we invite you for prayer, you can ask for prayer for whatever's going on in your life that you want prayer for. But the two things I believe I want to make real clear is, number one, some people could make that relationship decision today. This passage from 2 Corinthians says, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time for relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God, today's the day. And just come, and one of our prayer team people will pray with you, and they'll give you a little booklet as a way to get started on your relationship as a son or daughter of Christ. The second invitation is, I believe a bunch of people have come today very burdened, very weary, and you need some of the rest that Jesus is promising. And so when I close, please come and let people pray with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us and instructing us. Thank you that your word transforms us. Thank you for the truth. I pray that the truth that we've seen in your word would sink below our minds and settle into our hearts, and humbly we would receive it and be transformed. Lord, let our time be a path to you and to one another. Make us whatever you want us to be. I pray that. We sang that. Make us whatever you want us to be. I bless each one of us to live wisely. I bless each one of us to be thoughtful. I bless each one here to understand what God's will is and to do it. Open our hearts, open our ears to your voice. Lord, let us live each day focused on you and what you have for us, and set us free from bondage of living up to other people's expectations. Set us free from our own unbiblical expectations, I pray. Fill us with more of your love and your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you to go, church. I invite you to come for prayer, whatever you need. Love you.